All right, well, good morning. Good to be in here and be able to teach you again today. Ken was talking about giving me trumpet lessons as a kid. Where did he go? Oh, there he is. Little known fact about Ken when he teaches trumpet, he carries with him a weapon. And if you hit a sour note, he unleashes that weapon. His weapon of choice is a ballpoint pen. And there was a couple times he nailed us pretty good, but to our benefit though, and we had a lot of fun over the years with trumpet lessons there with Ken. So Matthew chapter 10, if you have your Bible, Matthew chapter 10. I want to also make mention this morning. Last week, Pastor Monty announced the book that I've written, and so kind of a neat thing. He didn't know I was bringing a box of books that morning, and I didn't know he was going to talk about my book that morning. And so we met in the lobby and got to talking, and immediately preacher got that very serious look on his face, and he told me, "Jacob, this is divine. What is happening this morning?" And you could probably picture him saying that. I hope those that bought one, I hope you enjoy it, and certainly is it's a lot more work that goes into writing a book than you would think. I know we have a few people here who've written books, but if you told me you wanted one, and I told you I wrote your name down, and you haven't got it yet, please come see me. I have them today, and if you haven't got one yet, and you'd like one, I have another box with me today. And I won't be in the back there after church, but you can come see me or my wife, and we'll be happy to get one of those to you. All right, Matthew chapter 10. It's probably been a few months ago now. I taught a lesson in here about always being ready to have an answer to people who ask about the hope that you have in Jesus Christ. Remember that lesson? Maybe a few of you do. But we're always supposed to be ready to have an answer. And although we can prepare as much as we can in knowing God's word and knowing doctrine and being able to have conversations with others about our faith and being open about our faith, and we can be prepared on a certain level, sometimes there are situations that arise that we are not prepared for. Sometimes situations arise that we just didn't see coming, okay? If we have time, I'll share some instances of that. Sometimes people just come up out of the blue, especially if they know you are serious about your faith, and they'll approach you and they'll just start unloading questions, opinions, thoughts, not always positive, okay? If you work in a secular work environment, you know that definitely happens. It happened to me just this last week. And a man came to me, and actually it was very interesting. He wanted to argue with me that the Bible is outdated, and that if God knew that times would be the way they are today, he wouldn't have written the Bible as he did. And I thought, oh, wow. And I asked him, I said, well, have you ever read the Bible? And he said, no. I thought, well, okay, you know. And he tried to tell me that this really got me. He said, if God knew that man would have to work as hard today as he does, he would have put things in the Bible about how a man ought to work. And I thought, well, what do you mean by that? And he said, well, we work harder than any other generation in history. And have you ever read a history book? You know. A lot of people think they have some facts together, some thoughts together, and they approach us sometimes, and sometimes it throws us for a curve. And we're just, oh boy, what do you say? You weren't ready for it. You weren't anticipating it. You weren't planning on having that conversation that morning. And I'll simply say this, and we'll talk about it this morning. There's a part of our faith, a very large part of our faith, where we have to rely on the Holy Spirit's leading in our lives, and He gives us the words to speak. If you've ever had a conversation with somebody, and verses start coming to mind, that you almost forgot that you knew. You know, you probably know what I'm talking about, and things and thoughts and the right words come to mind as you're speaking with somebody, and afterwards you go, wow, where did that even come from? You know, it's up here. It certainly is in your heart. But you know, sometimes I memorized verses in Awana 20 some years ago that sometimes I've forgotten that I've memorized until a situation comes up. And the Lord gives us the words that we need to speak, especially in times when we are unexpecting, or we're not expecting things to happen. So we always ought to have an answer, but our plan or our answer should always have room for the Holy Spirit to intervene. Amen? And his words are certainly better than ours. The man that approached me about the Bible here recently at work, I told him to go read the Bible and tell me what he found. I couldn't hardly think of what else to say. And he kind of threw it in my face and he said, you know what, I will read the Bible and I will come back to you and I will tell you what I find. And a few hours later, he had turned on his phone and was listening to the Bible. He started in Genesis. A few hours later, he came back to me in work, in the same work day, kind of quiet. And he said, what do you think about this garden and Adam and Eve being kicked out of the garden? And so we talked about that a little bit, and he goes, huh, okay. And he walked away. He came back a little later. What do you think about this ark and Noah and God's wrath? And we had a conversation there, and he came back a little later. What do you think about this Tower of Babel? And you know something? It's interesting. I was thrown for a curve. I didn't know what to say. And all I could think to say was, why don't you just go read the Bible and find out? And this man came back. And you know something? The Holy Spirit was working on his heart. And this week I've had opportunity to speak with him a lot on this. And hopefully, I'm hoping this will, and praying that it will lead to his salvation. So we ought to always have a plan, but sometimes we just rely on what the Holy Spirit gives us. Matthew chapter 10 there in your Bibles, we'll look at verse number 16. I want to read a small passage here, and then keep your Bibles handy because we're going to move around a little bit, because I want us to see this and grasp this idea that the Holy Spirit does give us words to speak, even though we oftentimes may look at what we said and go, wow, I feel like I could have done better than that. Sometimes what God gives us to say doesn't sound good to us, but it is exactly what the other person needs. But let's look here, Matthew chapter 10, and the disciples are getting ready to be sent out here. There's a charge to the disciples to go as they're preaching the gospel, and Christ says to them this, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Very encouraging, right? Okay, but we understand what he's saying there. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. I love that kind of language there, using things from nature. I've written a book on it, but I love that. The Bible is filled with passages where Christ himself uses examples from nature to tell a story or give an idea, get a point across. And we know that our message of the gospel is not always going to be very popular, right? We understand the idea here. Verse number 17. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. God gives us the right words to speak at the right time. Oftentimes the issue is not that we don't have the words to speak, it's that we don't have the boldness to speak up. Would you agree with that? It's us, right? In fact, most of the time, it's us. In relation to God, all the time, it's us, okay? But God has for it, he'll give us the words to speak, but it's our job to actually speak and carry on these conversations and glorify the name of Jesus Christ in telling others and giving the gospel. I work with several men that are Christian men, And I work in a pretty, what's the word? Rough environment. I work in the sawmill industry. And you don't usually get a bunch of college grads that speak well and are very dignified, maybe is the word, and mature, okay? We need someone to throw lumber and make, you know, and weld steel and do that, you know. So I work in the sawmill industry, and so we see some rough guys come through our workplace, and there's a few guys there that are Christians. And what I have discovered is I can have a conversation with those Christian men, and we can be discussing something from the Bible, and when somebody else walks up who does not know Christ, it is very common for that conversation to stop. Just come to a complete halt. And I try to always keep that conversation going because, you know, just because somebody walks up doesn't mean you have to stop a conversation. Okay, there's certain, manners, I guess. That's not the word I'm looking for. But involved in having conversation, right? If somebody approaches, you know, unless it's an emergency, you know, they should kind of wait or say, excuse me. But oftentimes when it's a Christian conversation, the conversation stops and everybody just looks at that guy because nobody wants to be caught talking about God at the workplace. Isn't that interesting? And maybe you've experienced that in your own field of work. You know, probably Pastor Morris doesn't experience that here at church, I wouldn't think, okay? But, you know, isn't it interesting how we become quiet? And there's a lot of reasons that play into that. God has for us to speak up. And while we can have our own plan and we can play through conversations in our mind, you ever do that, by the way? You know you're going to have a conversation with somebody and you play it out in your mind how you think it's going to go or how it should go, and it goes nothing like that, and then you're lost. Maybe I'm the only one, okay? But that happens to me. We can play it out and have a plan, but, you know, sometimes we just have to be able to stop in a conversation and silently, quietly pray and say, God, give me the words. I don't know what to say. And sometimes there's some extreme cases where that happens. I had a man that didn't show up to work for several weeks, and I worked very closely with this man, and almost was able to bring him and his wife to services, and they were really getting close to coming, and I thought, you know, for sure they would start coming to our church, and been talking with him about the gospel. I believe he was saved, but his wife he wasn't too sure about, and was really working on them for a long time, and he quit showing up to work for several weeks. And when he finally showed up to work, the man looked as down as could be, and I went up to him and I said, hey, where have you been? What's going on? And he explained to me that his wife was in the kitchen and collapsed and just suddenly died. Didn't make it to the hospital. What do you say? Those are times when you need to be able to say, Lord, I don't know. Give me the words. And maybe there are no words. Maybe it's just your presence there with them. But we have to rely on the Holy Spirit to do that. A lot of times we make excuses for ourselves because we don't know what to say, or there's other things that play into that. We'll look at that, but let's look at some other passages that deal with this. So let's go to the Old Testament, Jeremiah. Take your Bible, turn over to Jeremiah chapter 1, because we see this happen all throughout Scripture. A lot of times people make excuses for not having the words to speak. Jeremiah chapter 1, Jeremiah the prophet is no exception to this. And in chapter 1, verse number 4, it says this, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. By the way, don't you love the fact that God knows you before you were ever even born? He knew everything about you. He had already, in a sense, created you and your personality. I love that. Okay, he knows you, and he already has a plan for you. Isn't that cool? I think that's cool. And so I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations, verse number 6. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. pretty lame excuse, if I can just say so, okay? But I can't do it, God. Whoa, God, you want me to do... Okay. Obviously, God, you might have known me, but you didn't really know me, because I'm not the guy you want to go up and speak. What does God say? Verse number 7, "But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." And you know something, even though that account had happened in Jeremiah's life, it was still up to Jeremiah to trust that God would give him the words, and it was still up to Jeremiah to trust in God enough to go before the nations and speak. Sometimes as Christians, we get so quiet and we come up with so many excuses as to why we don't talk to that neighbor, and why we don't talk to that brother or sister, or why we don't talk to that relative, and why we don't bring that up in front of grandma and grandpa, and why we don't talk about that in front of the grandkids because of, and we just, we come up with excuses. Let's go over to Exodus. This is probably a one that's a little bit better known. Exodus chapter 4. This one helped me a lot when I was growing up because I had a lot of speech issues growing up. Those of you who knew me as a child, you know that that's true, if you remember. And I couldn't speak very well. I could not enunciate words very well. You say, well, Brother Lingo, you speak so eloquently this morning. How could that be? Okay, listen, I had a lot of problems with my speech. In fact, there was years ago, we had a secretary that was here at the church. She's long since passed, but does anybody remember Lois Livingston, who was here? Okay, and I had a conversation with her, and she just stood there, sat there and smiled and listened to my whole conversation, and when I finished, she asked me to repeat it. Okay, and so I repeated it, and she kind of looked at me puzzled, and she said, okay, can you say it again? I'm really listening. Can you? And so I told her again, and then my mother was there, and to my horror, she looked at my mother, and she said, I'm sorry, what did he say? And not to pick on Lois, okay, but because this happened a lot. I could not enunciate words very well. My words were all slurred together, and that's just how, and I had a lot of issues with that. So I came across this passage one day, and this really spoke to me as a child. But Exodus chapter 4, we see Moses here. Verse number 10, Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore. For since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. Thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. Isn't it interesting here when Moses throws an excuse before God? I can't speak. I have speech problems. By the way, when I felt the Lord leading me into preaching ministry, that was the same excuse I gave to God. I cannot speak. And I would throw out other names of guys in our youth group before God and say, God, call them. Don't call me. I'll ruin it. Don't call me. Nobody will know what I'm saying. I made the same excuses. Isn't it interesting? Moses does this, and God says to Moses, all right, Aaron will speak, but you're still going to have to give Aaron the words. He didn't just let him off the hook, you know. And so I'm not sure if that's better or not. Okay, you're still before the multitudes, and you're still having to speak. But you know something, God... God still expected that from Moses. He still expected his faithfulness. God expects our faithfulness in opening our mouths and sharing with people the love of God. And by the way, he expects our faithfulness in defending this book and his power. Amen? He expects that of us. And we can come up with any excuse that we want, but the result is always going to be the same. We really must frustrate our God sometimes. Would you agree with that? We probably really frustrate our God sometimes when we try to do certain things in our own confidence, and then we refuse to do other things in his, right? Confidence is not always a bad thing. We'll talk about confidence here in just a minute. But let's look at a couple more verses. I told you we're going to move around a little bit. Isaiah 41. Isaiah chapter 41. There are passages all over the Bible that deal with this. The men and women that God uses are oftentimes men and women who are filled with doubt and anxiety and fear. And God calls those people, and certainly still today, he does the same thing, doesn't he? And so we see this here. Let's look at a verse that deals with this. Isaiah 41, verse number 9. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Is that not the same God we serve today? Do you believe that same God is there, right there with you in your conversations with others about him? Do you believe that same God walks with you every day? Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I'll be with you. I will help you. I will comfort you. I will be with thy mouth. I will give you the words to speak. You just have to be faithful enough to speak. Sometimes that's the hardest part, isn't it? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Flip over there. We'll look at one more. I have a list of other ones here, but for time's sake, we'll look at one more. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And verse number 1, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 1. Here we're talking about letters of commendation. Some people go off and get a college degree, right? Their letter of commendation, so to speak, that they are equipped and capable of, you know, you fill in the blank, right? And so we see this happening here in the Bible, talking about these letters of commendation, those who are more educated than others. Do we begin again, verse number 1, to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. If you don't think yourself capable enough or educated enough to be able to be open about your faith and share your faith with others and talk doctrine with others, can I tell you something? Your dedication to God and your being led by the Holy Spirit gives you commendation enough to go and tell others about Christ. Amen? You don't need that college degree. When I was in Bible college, this is awful of me, but I like to stir things up a little bit. Hard to believe. But in my homiletics class, where you get a, you know, you have to get up and preach, and they talk about things that you did right or wrong, you know, that sort of thing. in my homiletics class, I chose this passage to speak on, and I said it doesn't matter how many degrees you have plastered on the wall behind your desk, if a person gets up and proclaims the word filled with the Holy Spirit, who are you to argue that they're wrong? Okay? You see how that could... I got an A. Okay? Anyway, listen, our confidence is in God, not ourselves. Not in a degree, okay? Our confidence should always be placed in God. By the way, if you're not sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading, you might miss the words He has for you to speak. It's not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit who speaks through us. John chapter 14, we won't turn there, but the Lord gave us another comforter, didn't He? He gave us the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we need to be a little more open to what the Holy Spirit has for us to speak. Educated by the Word of God, you ought to be studying, but as you study, even the things you think you might forget, as you diligently seek and study them, the Lord will bring those things to mind at the right time. He absolutely will. Confidence in being an ambassador of Jesus comes from an understanding that He is always with you. And even though what comes out of your mouth may seem very simple and lacking, you must trust that God will use your words as you seek to be used of Him. Amen? So there's a couple things that play into why we don't often open our mouths and speak up. One of these things that I'm starting to learn is the generation gap. Okay? I'm training this guy at work, and he is much younger than myself, and I've just come to the realization, really, this year, that there is an entire generation of people in the workforce who are much younger than myself. How many of you have come to that realization at some point in your life, and okay? It's weird. Okay? Now, some of you, you're used to it. It's been decades, right? Okay, but for me, it's a new experience. And I was training this guy on one of our machines at work, and on the machine, there's a keypad, and it has, just like a phone would have, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, *0#, right? And so I'm going through, and I'm explaining how to use this, and I said, all right, now we've programmed this machine. All you have to do now is hit pound. And he goes, oh, and he's looking at it, and well, he looks back at me, and I said, well, pound, you hit the pound key. It's over there. And he's looking at it, totally confused. And he looks back at me, and I walked over, and I pointed. I said, right there, the pound key. And then I thought, oh, no. And I said, what do you call that? He said, a hashtag. A hashtag? Okay? That's the pound key, right? And I asked him, I said, well, what year were you born? 2001.
2001?
You should be in school! You know, that's... Okay, anyway, it was a hard week for me, okay? But, you know, there's a challenge because different generations think differently. Some of you are sitting here going, yeah, Brother Lingo, you think far differently than I do, okay? Maybe that's true for you. But listen, sometimes that's intimidating. Okay, I'm starting to learn that a little bit, and it goes both ways. Sometimes speaking to the older generations, or to the younger, however it goes, but it plays into that. Sometimes we don't want to sound crazy or fanatical. By the way, it's okay to be fanatical, okay, in relation to your God. We get so excited about sports teams and things like that. Why don't we get so excited about God as we do something like the Super Bowl? If you're into that, I don't watch much of the sports myself anymore, but it's okay to be excited, right? It's okay to sound like you're crazy about the Lord. Hopefully you are. Sometimes our confidence is wrongfully motivated, or it's placed in ourselves. And this is where we get into a lot of trouble. We see Peter do this in John chapter 18, right? And when they're in the garden and the people come to arrest Christ, and there's this conversation going on here, and Peter, probably very valiantly, draws his sword and with an attitude that says, come on, we can take him. Slices off a man's ear. Right? I think it's the servant of the high priest. I think I'm correct in saying that. Slices his ear off. And I don't know what the situation was like. I don't know if everybody stood around and went, dude, you know, like, I don't know how it went. But we see Christ saying, listen, it's okay, Peter. Trust me. And he puts the man's ear back on, right? Heals the man. Peter, in his own confidence, was willing to fight to the death for what he believed. And sometimes we rely too much on our own confidence the same way. We get into a big argument with somebody and we speak our own minds rather than trusting in what God has to say or what the Bible has to say. We don't love people like we should in conversations sometimes because we want to have our point get across. We want to win. Sometimes our confidence is wrongfully motivated. It's never to be done in our own strength. It's not our plan but His. And by the way, I wrote this down in my notes here. Confidence in yourself is not wrong, except for when it takes confidence away from God. It's okay to be confident in certain things that we do, right? Okay? A carpenter ought to be confident that he measured twice and cut once, you know, and it's right, right? And you fill in the blank there. It's okay to be confident. When I was in college, I got invited to a party. Now, not a college party like you're thinking, okay? I went to a Bible college. So one of the faculty members invited a lot of the freshmen to their house. And so we went to their house, and this is Wisconsin, so it's cold, so they made hot chocolate and homemade chocolate chip cookies, which to a college student, wow, you know, we don't get that. And so I sat there, and we ate our cookies and drank. They had this dining room table. It's the biggest dining room table I've ever seen. Except for one we just saw in Shipshawana. There was one in one of the shops. It was absolutely huge. I think, Mrs. Hunsucker, we commented on it with you. But it was just absolutely huge. And we all sat around it, and we ate cookies, and we played Dutch Blitz. Anybody ever play Dutch Blitz? How many of you think you're good? We should play. Okay, but anyway, so we sat there, and then there came a time when the man of the house said, let's all go into the living room and sing. Okay, cool. So we go in there, he pulls out this box of hymn books, and then out of the closet emerges this accordion. You know, the big accordion. And I said, oh, an accordion. I said, I've played with one of those. It meaning that I've played around with one of those. He heard that I was a concert accordion player and was volunteering to play. And so I put this thing on, and I'm messing around with it, and he announces to the room that I am an accordion player and I'll be playing for all the songs tonight. I don't know how to play the accordion, you know? And so everybody looked at me and, oh, wow, that's wonderful. Oh, Jacob, we had no idea. And everybody's so excited, and everybody turns in their hymn books, and I'm sitting there going, what am I going to do? And you say, now, surely you cleared up the issue quickly. No. Okay. I looked at this thing and I thought, well, there's the keyboard over here. I kind of know piano, so I can figure that out. And there's like 1,000 buttons on the other side. I don't know what they do, but these look like they've been pressed a lot, so I pressed those ones. And then I thought, well, all you have to do is that, right, and play the piano. And so I started playing the first song. It was Nothing But the Blood. And I'm focusing so much on the keys that I didn't realize that I was getting farther and farther and farther and farther apart. And I kind of glanced up at the man who owned the accordion, and he had this very serious look of concern on his face. And I realized I'm like going down the, oh man, you know, bringing it back in. And I got through that first song, and I thought, I bet I could do another. You know, I played for every song that night. And when we left, I was walking back to campus with another gentleman, and he said, Jacob, I had no idea that you played the accordion. I didn't either. I had no idea. Okay? Sometimes confidence in self can get you in trouble. Other times it tends to work out, right? We should have some level of confidence in ourselves, but it should never take away our confidence in God. And by the way, sometimes when the situation calls for it, you sense the Holy Spirit leading in your life. Don't go there in that conversation. Don't go there. Maybe you just need to be quiet. Sometimes the Holy Spirit tells us, just shut your mouth. Right? It's our job to be faithful and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading and listen and speak when we need to speak and be quiet when we need to be quiet. God has, He's our confidence. It's never done in our own strength. A lot of times we like to place our confidence in other things, and oftentimes we see that a lot in our world today. We see people trying to place confidence in things that are just temporal things. And we see a lot of grief over those things. For instance, I wrote down a list of things here people put confidence in. They put confidence in their own health. They put confidence in a vaccine or government program. They put confidence in their firearms. They put confidence in people or money or politicians. They put confidence in their retirement or their ability to work. You know something? All of those things can be taken away from you. And then where does your confidence lie? If you say self, you're wrong. Your confidence always ought to be in our Lord. He'll give us the words to speak. He'll take care of us. Amen? Do you trust in Him? Do you trust in Him? He is our confidence. He will lead us, and He'll guide us. And specifically today, He'll give us the right words when we need them. The man that I worked with that I told you that had all kinds of questions and opinions and things about the Bible, you know something, there were some verses that came to mind that, wow, I don't know where that came from, but thank you, Lord, for bringing those things to remembrance at the right time. And I've been able to have some good conversations with this young man. I'm praying for him to be saved. And isn't it amazing, when I ran out of things to say and didn't know what to say, I said, Lord, help me. The only thing that came to my mind was, tell him to go read the Bible. God is speaking to him while he is reading his Bible. His words are better than mine. Amen? Let's trust in his words. Let's trust in his book and trust that he'll give us the words to speak at the right time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your leading and working in our lives. Lord, you knew us before we were ever even born. Thank you, Lord, for the confidence we can have in you. Lord, thank you for giving us the right words at the right time, and help all of us to be faithful and know when to speak. Give us the words to speak and help us to trust that you'll do so. Lord, we give you the thanks and the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jake.